If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Leviticus chapter 19 and verses 33 and 34, as we continue in our series, Social Justice versus Biblical Justice. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. Moses writes, "When an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much that your word is so clear. Lord, when it comes on major issues of the day that we need to consider and think about and come to conclusions on, just thank you, Lord, the more we pray, the more we study your word, the more you reveal to us. I pray that you just show us the truth this morning about immigration, what you really want us to do about this situation as a nation and also as individual Christians. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last Monday night at the County Coliseum in El Paso, Texas, President Donald Trump held a campaign rally calling on Congress to finish building the wall along the U.S.-Mexico border to stop the flood of illegal immigrants coming into the United States. But that same night, just two blocks down the street, presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke held a counter rally, telling people that no border wall was necessary at all. And folks, what a perfect picture of the two opposite sides of the immigration debate today. Trump supporters versus never Trumpers, legal immigration versus illegal immigration, border security versus open borders. Immigration is the most divisive issue in the entire social justice movement today, and one that's not only going to determine the future of this country, but also determine the future of the entire world. And the text we're looking at this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Social Justice versus Biblical Justice, looking at some of the biggest issues in the social justice movement today and seeing what the Bible really says about them, and what we Christians really need to do about them. And today, we look at the issue of immigration. And to see what the Bible really says about it, we turn this morning to Leviticus chapter 19 and verses 33 and 34. In this part of Leviticus 19, Moses is giving the children of Israel some guidelines about living in society. And in our text today, Moses tells them how they should be treating aliens or immigrants who come into their land and live among them. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, God's policy in dealing with aliens back then is exactly the same policy that we need to follow today with immigrants coming into the United States. Our text this morning, Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34, tells us three things that we need to understand in order to deal with immigration like God wants us to. Now let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to understand in order to deal with immigration, we need to understand who the aliens are that we're supposed to treat well, verses 33 and 34. Now, what makes it hard is that all the English versions of the Bible translate that Hebrew word for alien in all different kinds of ways. The King James Version has stranger. The RSV says sojourner. NIV here says alien. The New Living Translation has foreigner. But folks, if we're going to rightly handle the word of truth, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we need to understand not what alien means to people today, but what it meant to Moses when he originally gave it, the Holy Spirit, when he originally gave it to Moses in these verses here. Now, there's three different Hebrew words that can mean alien or foreigner or immigrant. Nakar, zar, and ger. And the biggest difference is, ger is the only one that means a foreigner living among you who has actually become a citizen of your country, a legal citizen. And guess which one of those three words is used in our text this morning? That's ger. Verse 34 mentions the Israelites being aliens in the land of Egypt. When there was famine in the land of Canaan, Jacob's sons went to ger in Egypt to live among the Egyptians. And how do we know they became legal citizens of that country? Because Genesis chapter 49, verses 3 through 6, says that even though Joseph, their brother, was a head honcho there, they still specifically asked permission from Pharaoh to set up residence and get their mail delivered there. And after Moses killed the Egyptian and fled to the land of Midian, we know Moses became an official citizen of that country because he named his oldest son Gershom, from Ger, to reflect his legal status there. That's why verse 33, Moses tells the Israelites they need to treat Ger like their native born and love them as one of their own, because they had exactly the same kind of rights and privileges and perks that the Israelites had. So the Ger could do things that Nakar and Zar could not do, like earn equal wages and glean in the fields. Israelites could loan money with interest to Nakar and Zar, but they couldn't charge interest on loans to the Ger. And in response, in return, God expected the Ger to become a part of his people, to follow Jewish law, and to celebrate all the Jewish festivals. In other words, he wanted them to assimilate, something that you don't hear anything at all about today. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, Ruth, the Moabite, gets back to Israel with her mother-in-law, Naomi, the Israelite, and says this: "Your people will be my people, your God will be my God." And folks, she's not talking about marriage there. That's God's plan for immigration and assimilation. And my. The Bible tells us that if you immigrate to a country that fears the Lord, first of all, you need to become a legal citizen. And second, you need to start serving and obeying the only one true God. And man, oh man, have things changed today. Back in 2015, President Obama quoted these two verses we're looking at this morning and said this: "The Holy Bible itself instructs us to welcome any and all foreigners with open arms, no questions asked." No, it doesn't. Folks, you can't just find a verse somewhere in the Bible that mentions the word alien and then claims that it means we need to welcome all aliens and immigrants with open arms no matter what. See the sign up there? Next slide. Migration is not a crime. Excuse me, it is a crime when you don't ask permission from the country that you're migrating to. Because of the very words that the Holy Spirit specifically purposely uses here in this text, we know that God sees a clear distinction between legal immigrants and illegal immigrants. And we need to see that too. Legal immigrants should stay, illegal immigrants shouldn't stay. We Christians are anti-illegal immigration because God Himself is anti-illegal immigration, and His Word right here proves it. Now, two things from this. First of all, borders are God's idea, Acts chapter 17, verse 26. So borders are not immoral. And every country has the right to protect and defend their borders, even pagan countries. In the Bible, every country protected and defended their borders with forts or soldiers. And people had to ask permission in order to enter into those countries. When Moses and the children of Israel wanted to pass through the land of Edom, they asked permission first to do it. And when the land of Moab refused to give them permission, Moses and the Israelites had to go all the way around it. That's what you call border security. So this whole concept of open borders is not from God, because God realizes in order to have a sovereign country, you can't have people being allowed to come and go like free-range beef. And something else. Countries have the right to determine who gets in and under what terms and conditions they get to stay. And countries not only have the right to do that, they also have the responsibility to do that, which is exactly what everybody and his brother is denying today. Now, folks, just so everybody remembers, there is a legal way to get into the United States. You present yourself at a legal point of entry, and you start the process. America takes in 1.1 million legal immigrants every single year, far more than any other nation in the whole wide world. So don't you dare say that America is anti-immigration. Folks, there's all kinds of ways that you can get into this country legally. 1.1 million people become legal immigrants every year. 70,000 people come into America every year with asylum. Right now, 10.5 million people in the United States have green cards. There are 700,000 guest workers, 66,000 non-agricultural temporary foreign workers, 117,000 seasonal agricultural workers, 500,000 foreign students, 350,000 foreign high school and college exchange students and researchers and physicians. There's tourist visas, J-1 exchange visitors visas. I could go on and on. The problem is not legal immigration. If you're a legal immigrant, you did it the right way, welcome home. The problem is with illegal immigration because right now 3.5% of our population is illegal. Over 12 million people, and two-thirds of them have been here over 10 years. And every day, 2,000 more illegals come into this country, over 700,000 every single year. But if we Christians and conservatives say one thing at all, the media purposely lies and says that we are anti-immigrant and racist and intolerant and judgmental, which is absolutely ridiculous. Folks, conservatives are not anti-immigrant, and especially that one. Back in 1885, a 16-year-old guy named Frederick emigrated from Karlstadt, Germany to the United States. So poor, he didn't even have a suitcase. But he learned English as fast as he could, became a legal U.S. citizen, and then headed west to the gold fields where he made a bundle running restaurants to feed the miners. Went back to Karlstadt, Germany, married his girlfriend Elizabeth, moved back to New York City, started a real estate company, and became a millionaire before he was 50 years old. But then he died of the Spanish flu and left everything he had to his son Fred and his wife. Now, his son Fred, already rich from inheritance, made even more money from a real estate company he started when he was in high school, selling single-family homes to U.S. veterans. And in 1936, at a party, Fred met a woman named Mary McLeod, who had emigrated from Scotland and worked as a housemaid while she learned English as fast as she could. In 1936, they got married, and in 1942, she became a legal U.S. citizen, too. And they had six children together, and their second oldest son, born in 1946, was named Donald Trump, 45th President of the United States. And President Trump carried on the family tradition in 2005 by marrying an immigrant named Melania Noss, who was born in the Yugoslav Republic of Slovenia. Her mother was a pattern maker for a children's clothing company. So she was already working as a model, modeling those clothes her mother made when she was 5 years old. She went on to model as the years went by in Paris and in Milan. She moved to the United States in 1996. She learned English as fast as she could. And besides modeling, she started her own jewelry company and she started her own skincare products company. 2005, she married Donald Trump, and in 2006, she became a legal U.S. citizen, too. Melania Trump speaks six different languages and is the only first lady to ever be born in a non-English-speaking country. So, folks, Donald Trump knows exactly who aliens are, and he doesn't hate them because he wouldn't even be here today and wouldn't have the life that he has today without them. But what do all those immigrants in his life have in common? They all came to America, they all learned English, they all assimilated, they all worked, and they all became legal citizens of the United States. Not illegal aliens who did it the wrong way, legal aliens who did it the right way. Exactly the kind of aliens that God is talking about here in these verses. The first thing that we need to understand in order to deal with immigration, we need to understand who the immigrants really are. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing that we need to understand in order to deal with immigration. We not only need to understand who the immigrants are, we also need to understand what government is supposed to do about immigration. Because in His Word, God tells us that government is supposed to do things that individuals aren't supposed to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, "Don't take vengeance out on people," because Romans chapter 13, verse 4, government is supposed to punish them. So government is supposed to do things that individuals are not supposed to do. So you cannot take verses like we have in our text this morning that are specifically addressed to individuals and apply them to government. Because government's most important job is not to be nice to foreigners. Government's number one job is to protect its own citizens. Romans chapter 13, verse 3. Even from other illegal immigrants. But sadly enough, most of what government is doing today with immigration is totally based on politics and carnival freak hatred for President Donald Trump. President Obama, President Bush, and President Clinton all separated children from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border, because ever since 1992, it has been federal law that when parents are arrested for illegally entering this country, they cannot be detained along with their children. So the only reason that it's a horrible thing now is because it's President Donald Trump who's doing it. President Obama and President Bush built 255 miles of wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. And in 2016, Representative Nancy Pelosi and Senator Chuck Schumer demanded $25 to $50 billion more dollars to finish it all. So the only reason why a wall is something horrible now is because it's President Donald Trump who's calling for it. President Trump wanted $5.7 billion to build 55 more miles of wall. Folks, $5.7 billion in Washington, D.C. is pocket change. That's less than what our federal government spends in 1 month for food stamps. 2016, President Obama spent $1.7 billion to help the Iranians build a nuclear bomb that threatens the lives of the American people. But today, Congress won't even spend that much to build a wall along the southern border to protect the lives of the American people. And sadly enough, it all comes down to wanting votes for the Democrat Party. Folks, the state of California already is letting illegals vote in elections. And last November, during the midterms, lawyers in the state of Florida actually went to court demanding that votes cast by illegals should count for Democrat candidates in their election results. Folks, you know as well as I know, if legals voted mostly conservative, there'd already be a wall along the southern border so high you could see it from outer space. But politicians don't realize this is not about politics. It's not about Democrat, Republican. This is about illegal immigration. And do we understand why our government needs to act against it and the problems it causes us when they don't? Right now, America is spending $135 billion a year on services to illegals, including free abortions and free sex change operations once they get across the border. You say, well, Kevin, you know, illegals work and they pay taxes. Yeah, $19 billion a year, which means we're still on the hook for $116 billion a year. Here's just some of the reasons why illegal immigration is a drain on our nation's economy. Over 60% of all illegals do not have the equivalent of an eighth grade education. 63% of illegals are on welfare and Section 8 housing. In California, 60% of all HUD housing units are occupied by illegals, and two-thirds of all births paid by Medicaid are born to illegals. I could go on and on. Meanwhile, if you cross from the United States into Mexico illegally, you don't get food stamps or green cards or Section 8 housing or a pathway to citizenship. You get 5 to 10 years in prison. Our government continues to allow illegal people to stay in this country. You say, well, Kevin, there's 800,000 DACA dreamers who were brought here by their parents. Yeah, but three-fourths of them are already over 25 years old, which means they've had more than enough time to get legal, haven't they? Liberals want to give amnesty to the 12 million illegal aliens living in this country. But folks, what a slap in the face to all the other immigrants who did it the right way. And to hundreds of thousands of people all over the world who wait two or more years to get their visas approved. Our government continues to tolerate illegal sanctuary cities like New York and Chicago and Denver and Seattle and San Francisco and Los Angeles, where police will not arrest illegals and hold them for deportation. Folks, sanctuary cities have already been ruled unconstitutional in court. They're a violation of federal law. In Old Testament times, if you killed somebody accidentally, you could run to a designated sanctuary city and be safe from the family members of the deceased person trying to take vengeance on you. So the whole concept, biblical concept of sanctuary cities has absolutely nothing to do with harboring illegal immigrants. What if an American city declared that they were going to be a sanctuary city from federal taxes? How long do you think the federal government would let that go on? And just look at the damage that illegal immigration does to the illegals. Human coyotes steal their money that's supposed to pay their way to America and then sell them to human traffickers or sex traffickers. In the caravans, parents give their daughters birth control pills all the way along the way because 60 to 80% of the females in those caravans get raped and sexually assaulted. Over 4,000 illegals have died trying to get to the United States, including two little kids from Guatemala last fall because their parents forced them to walk hundreds and hundreds of miles through the Mexican desert. What's the most humane thing to do? The most humane thing to do is to build a wall all across the southern border to keep those people from making that baton death march all the way up out of South America to begin with. But Senator Chuck Schumer says favoring a wall is immoral because it hurts children. Folks, I don't know about you, I'm not going to be lectured about a moral way to treat children from somebody who believes it's perfectly moral now to kill them right after they come out of the womb. And worst of all, what does illegal immigration do to innocent Americans who are already here? 98.9% of all illegal drugs that come into America come across the southern border smuggled by illegal immigrants. Last year's Border Patrol arrested 17,000 criminals at the border, including 4,000 that had ties to terrorist groups. And over 600 MS-13 gang members were caught in just the last caravan. Here's some of the crime stats about illegals in America. 95% of all warrants for murder in Los Angeles are for illegals. 60% of all gang members in California are illegals. Illegals in America commit on average 970,000 sexual assaults every year, as well as 45% of all shootings, 31% of all murders, 43% of all robberies. I could go on and on. Politicians talk about compassion for the illegals. Where's the compassion for their victims? Where's the compassion for 20-year-old Molly Tibbetts, Iowa University student who was murdered last July the 18th by an illegal named Christian Rivera who should have been deported? Hillary Clinton has a wall around her house in Chappaqua, New York. And yet Hillary Clinton says there should be no wall along the southern border. And you know why? Because that woman lives every single day of her life totally isolated and insulated from illegal immigrants. But the question is, what about all the regular Americans who don't? Ronil Singh came to the United States from his home country in Fiji, and he only had one lifelong dream, that was to serve America by being a police officer in a small town in California. So he moved to Newman, worked very hard at learning English, became a legal U.S. citizen, drove 2 hours each way to attend police academy, got hired by the county sheriff's department, first as a service officer, then as an animal control officer, before 2011 when he was finally hired full-time by the city of Newman, about 100 miles southeast of San Francisco. He and his girlfriend got married. They had a little boy together. He loved them to pieces. He loved camping and fishing with them, and the guy was never, ever, ever in a bad mood. But then last December the 26th, one day after Christmas, Ronil Singh pulled over a gray pickup truck on a possible DUI. But when Ronil Singh got out of his squad car, the driver of that pickup truck opened fire and shot him multiple times. And even though Ronil Singh was able to return fire, he was wounded so badly he died an hour later at the hospital. And when that suspect, the shooter, was caught just minutes after, come to find out he was an immigrant too. Only he was an illegal immigrant. Gustavo Arriaga, who had already been arrested in California multiple times for DUI and shooting and gang activity. A bad guy. Folks who should have never even been in the country to begin with. But see, California is a sanctuary state, so he was never deported as many times as he was arrested. Because see, California is too open-minded and non-judgmental and too tolerant to bother with anything like border security. The picture you see here on the screen, Ronel Singh posted this on his Facebook page just 5 hours before he was killed. He will never get to hug his wife again. He will never get to hold his little boy again. He will never see him take his first step. Talk about children separated from their parents. That child was separated from his father because an illegal alien killed him. Talk about dreamers. That wife had dreams of a long life with her husband. And that little boy had dreams of doing special things with his dad, who for the rest of his life will be nothing but a picture. People, that is the real cost of illegal immigration in America. Now, does that mean that all illegal immigrants in America are criminals? Of course not. Absolutely not. 99.999% of them are not. But folks, the dastardly thing that the media and evil politicians do, they never, ever, ever talk about that. Because Ronel Singh is just one of thousands and thousands and thousands of innocent Americans who've been terrorized and traumatized and destroyed by criminal illegal aliens in this country who should have never been in this country to begin with if government had been doing its job. Politically correct or not, Romans chapter 13, verse 3, government is to hold terror for those who do wrong. The number one job of government is to protect its own citizens, even from illegal immigrants. The second thing that we need to understand in order to deal with immigration, we need to understand what government is supposed to do about it. Third thing in this text. Third thing that we need to understand in order to deal with immigration. We not only need to understand who the immigrants are, we not only need to understand what government is supposed to do about it. Third, and most importantly, Christians, we need to understand what we're supposed to do about it. Hillary Clinton said this, government has to be kind. No. Because it's not government's job to be kind. Government's job is to be just. Christians, it's our job to be kind. The picture you see there on the screen, top left, a mom from Central America with her two little girls from the caravan last October trying to get across the border into America because she wants a better life, but driven back by smoke bombs. Government has to do its job, but it breaks your heart. Folks, even though those are illegal immigrants, as Christians, we still have an obligation to love them and care about them and try to help them. That's never gone away. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 says, though, we need to be smart as well as compassionate. So the question is, what does it really mean to be compassionate to illegal aliens? Parable of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan helped the guy who was beat up and gave him first aid. But notice, the Samaritan did not take him to his own house. The Good Samaritan took him to a Motel 6 and had him cared for there. So what's the lesson? You care for illegal immigrants there so you don't have to bring them here. And folks, all kinds of Christians today are doing that. Right now, all kinds of Baptist churches and Assembly of God churches are partnering with Samaritan's Purse to help all those people in the caravans all along the way, and especially when they get to the U.S. border where their sponsors disappear. So Samaritan's Purse and those Christians and churches are giving them tents and food and clothes and medical care. And most importantly, they're giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes the most compassionate thing you can do for an illegal alien is to send them back home. So instead of turning America into a third world country, they can work and fight and turn their third world country into America so they'll never want to have to leave it again. Well, what do we do with the immigrants who are already here? Well, right now there's a ministry called Voice of the Refugees who reaches out to as many immigrants coming into America as they possibly can. They do it all in the name of Jesus, and they don't take one penny from the federal government. Voice of the Refugees meets the refugees at the airport when they come into this country. And they find them jobs to work. They find them places to stay. They teach them English. They teach them American customs so they can assimilate and be totally self-supporting. Back in the 1970s and 80s, Voice of the Refugees reached out to the Vietnamese boat people in Southern California and won them to Christ and organized churches. Today, some of those congregations are celebrating their 40th and 45th anniversaries. That's incredible. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus said, go into all the world. Folks, we don't need to do that anymore because the world, the greatest mission field opportunities in our lifetime are coming to us right in our own backyard. America takes in 70,000 refugees every single year. Christians, what are we doing to win them to Christ? And I know there's somebody here in this message this morning saying, well, Kevin, I know somebody who's in this country illegally. What should I do? Well, your first responsibility is to win them to Jesus. And if they know that you've got ICE on speed dial, they're not going to listen to anything you say. They're not even going to want to be around you. So the goal is to get them to take those legal steps. Because if they truly are submitted to the spiritual authority of Jesus Christ, they'll also be submitted to legal authority. Last December the 28th, a 41-year-old man named Alejo Padin from Mexico got saved in Asheville, North Carolina, and turned himself in to U.S. Immigration Service. Folks, it's Christ that can do that. But Christians, listen to me. We're going to win illegal immigrants to Christ. We better hurry. Because illegal immigration is destroying this country. The first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, John Jay, said this: America is one connected country inhabited by one united people, professing the same faith, speaking the same language, and committed to the same principles of government. But when those conditions cease, America ceases as well. Our founding fathers didn't give a flying leap about diversity because they realized no matter what color Americans were, no matter what country they came from, without a commitment to the God of the Bible and constitutional government and a common language and a common heritage, America will never survive as a nation. And folks, that's exactly what's being attacked right now on all sides by illegal immigration. Today, any hint, any example, any whiff of patriotism. We got criticized for this here at Fox River. Any hint of patriotism is considered racism and xenophobia, which means fear of strangers. But folks, it's not about fear of strangers. It's fear for the future of this country. Because Americans, listen to me, if we don't take whatever steps are necessary to preserve this, this is not going to be here. And there won't be any country for anybody to come to at all. Beto O'Rourke said this: in light of the challenges of immigration, can the country we have today still be governed by principles laid down 230 years ago? Because of the tremendous needs of immigrants, we need to totally rethink our constitutional principles. In other words, we're going to get rid of the Constitution for the sake of illegals. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wants to do away with ICE and the U.S. Immigration Service. Folks, this country cannot survive that kind of stupidity. The most powerful nation in the history of the whole wide world can't even defend its own southern border. We want to build a colony on Mars. We can't even build a wall between us and Mexico. International surveys show one-third, a full one-third of the world's population wants to live in America. 2.4 billion people. And in case somebody needs to remind, we only have 330 million people in this country. Sue and I can fit about three people in our camper, but not 2.4 billion. Folks, America will never survive that kind of influx. We simply cannot have everybody in the world living here. And see the folks in the last caravan? Next slide. Upper right-hand corner. Even before they got to the United States, took an American flag, painted a swastika on it, and set it on fire. How many of you honestly believe the people in that caravan give a rip at all about assimilating or becoming real Americans? But that's what's coming. You ever wonder who's behind those caravans? Because they're not spontaneous. Because if those people really wanted asylum in the United States, they could apply for it at the American embassy in their own country. So why are they making the trip? And who's paying for it? Who's paying to feed them? Who's paying for their places to stay? Who's paying for those 18-wheelers to haul the porta-potties back and forth? And see the signs? No borders, no nations, no deportations. No borders, no walls, no USA at all. Do you understand what those signs are really saying? And what they're calling for? Well, behind the caravan is an organization called Pueblo Sin Fronteras, which means people without borders. And also an organization called Open Societies that's bankrolled by a liberal billionaire, next slide, named George Soros, who is absolutely dedicated to globalism and the destruction of this country. This is what George Soros said. The destruction of the United States and putting her under the full final authority of one global governing head will be the culmination of my life's work. So the plan is to flood America with gazillions of immigrants who have no interest at all in becoming Americans. To destroy this country and turn the entire world into one giant, seamless, borderless UN superstate. And if you think that's just conspiracy theory, Brock Adams, who's the director of the United Nations Health Organization, said this. To achieve one world government, it is necessary to remove from people their loyalty to country and their national patriotism, and especially where it exists the strongest, in the United States of America. What do you know? That sounds exactly like what the Bible says is going to happen in the end times. When all borders and nations disappear, and there will be one world government completely ruled over and completely controlled by the Antichrist. And folks, the only one who can save anybody from that is Jesus. In that place right there. See, there is a country that everybody wants to emigrate to. The same country that God wants everybody to emigrate to as well. It's a place called heaven. And believe it or not, heaven has a wall. A literal place with a literal wall. So it's not 6th century or medieval, like Nancy Pelosi says, because that wall is there now. So God doesn't think walls are immoral or unchristian at all. Revelation chapter 21 says that heaven is a city with a wall great and high. 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high, and 144 cubits or 72 yards thick. Sitting on 12 foundations, which means that wall ain't going anywhere. And nobody's ever going to be able to tunnel under it or go around it or get over top of it either. And because that city is built four square, that means that wall has three gates each on the north, south, east, and west, with a different angel guarding every gate. So nobody is ever going to be able to crash the place. And no matter how shocking it may be, heaven does not have an open borders policy because heaven has a wall and a gate and extreme border security, which means people aren't going to get in there just because they want to get in there because there's an extreme vetting and screening process. So the only ones who are ever going to get into heaven are the ones who have the Father's permission, those who are trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior and His death on the cross as the only thing that can take their sins away. The only ones who are going to get into heaven are those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation chapter 21, verses 25 to 27. So the illegal aliens then will be the ones who don't trust Jesus. Those are the ones who are not going to get in. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now saying, but Kevin, Revelation chapter 25, verse 15 says, heaven's gates will always be open and they'll never be shut. Ancient cities closed their gates every single night to keep the criminals out. But see, heaven won't have to do that because there will be no night there and there won't be any criminals there at all. And you know why? Because after the Antichrist, after the one world government, after the final judgment, when everybody is finally assigned to their eternal places, then heaven's gates will always be open. Because there won't be any illegal aliens around at all, because they will have already been put in a totally separate place, a place of judgment and darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, Revelation chapter 22, verse 15. Which means, if you die without Christ, you're going to be in that darkness too. And no DACA or Dreamer program or amnesty push is ever going to get you out of there. You will be outside of that wall and outside of that city in a place called hell forever and ever and ever. So the only thing that matters is you trusting Jesus for salvation right now. Doesn't matter what country you're coming from. The only thing that matters is the country that you're going to. Not having a pathway to citizenship there, having a pathway to citizenship here. The only thing that matters is not getting behind that wall. The only thing that matters is getting behind that wall and getting as many other people behind that wall as you possibly can too by leading them to Jesus. But Christians, listen to me. We're going to do that. We better hurry. Last January the 15th, yet another caravan headed out of Honduras toward the U.S.-Mexican border with over 15,000 people in it this time. And the number's growing every single day. Folks, the flow of illegal immigration is never going to stop. The attacks against this country from the outside are never going to stop. The attacks on this country from the inside by people who hate America and want to destroy it and want to turn it into a third world hellhole, they're never going to stop. So Christians, we not only need to be sharing the gospel with immigrants to this country, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for this country like never before, because ultimately government is in the hands of God. And ultimately our battle is not against politicians. It's not against Democrats or Republicans. It's not against the illegal aliens. Our battle is against Satan himself, who's trying to trash this nation and stop America from fulfilling its calling of lifting up Jesus as a light to the world. We need to pray that this is not the twilight's last gleaming. Because prayer is not the least thing we can do, it's the best thing we can do. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that your word is so clear. And Lord, regardless of the status of legal or illegal when it comes to immigrants or aliens, they're to be loved and cared for because you died for them and you love them. And I pray, Lord, as we come in contact with people in our society, because aliens, refugees are all over the United States, even in rural areas like this, I pray, Lord, that they would see Jesus Christ in us. Our number one goal would be to get them saved. And I just pray, Lord, for our nation. I pray that our nation would realize the seriousness of the issues. This is not just something that we say yes or no and forget about. It has long-lasting implication and impact on people's lives and the future of this country and the role you've called this nation to play in the world. I just ask, Lord, for a brand new understanding. I pray, Lord, for a spirit of revival to sweep this country, that people would take a look at what your word has to say, be convicted by it, be encouraged by it. And Lord, especially Christians, us, we would start living according to it. Pray, Lord, you forgive us for the times when we have failed, the times we've ignored things, the times we haven't taken serious what you have called to take us seriously. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen.